or call 646-498-5309. That's 646-498-5309.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest this afternoon is Joel Skouse, and we've been talking about the control of the media. Well, there are alternative sources of information, and one of them is Joel Skouse in the World Affairs Brief. And with that as a background, Joel, so good to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I picked up on some of your conversation about Iran. I did check the sources on that article that you mentioned, and indeed they have said that they are digging 15 to 20,000 graves in each of the border provinces in anticipation of burying foreign soldiers that may attack. Of course, that's really pretty bad policy because, in fact, the United States doesn't intend to invade. They intend to simply do an obliterating air attack on U.S. military and infrastructure targets. So I don't expect there's going to be many casualties except Iranians, as you pointed out. Well, this week there appeared to be a significant shift in the U.S. decision to talk face-to-face with Iranian negotiators about Iran's nuclear enrichment. The decision by the Bush administration to send a senior American official to participate in international talks with Iran face-to-face reflects an abandonment, or the appearance of the abandonment, of a policy by this administration. It's been a long-standing position that we will only meet face-to-face with Iran after it first suspends uranium enrichment as demanded by the UN Security Council. As I've pointed out many times, this policy requires that Iran give up its object of negotiations as a precondition of talks. So what's there left to talk about if they abandon? I mean, that's the end object of one side in this negotiation. If they give in to that as a precondition of talking, there's nothing left to talk about. But as the New York Times opined, Iran seems to want the value of negotiation without actually giving up enrichment. And the U.S. wants the value of negotiation to justify war later on. Now, this is the first time Supreme Leader Ayatollah al-Khamenei said, or he's got involved in the process. He said on Wednesday that Iran was all ready for negotiations over the nuclear crisis, but warned it would not step over any red lines. Now, red lines refer to positions in negotiations that one will not compromise. In this case, the red line is no giving up of enrichment. His comments, of course, came ahead of a key meeting between Iran's top nuclear negotiator, Saeed Jalili, and his intervention, of course, is important because it does mean that he's perhaps overruling President Ahmadinejad in this area, trying to resolve the regional conflict where oil prices have been spiraling. Now, I do not expect these talks to produce any peaceful results. Khamenei said Iran has decided to take part in negotiations but will not accept any threats from the United States, something the U.S., of course, is not prone to avoid. They make threatening statements all the time. As for its part, the U.S. is only interested in showing that it has negotiated seriously as a precondition before attacking. As one senior administration official said, it's designed to press the advantage, show that we're serious about the diplomatic path, but that there are consequences if Iran doesn't accept the offer. Well, of course, I don't think they're really very serious about the diplomatic path, but this obviously has taken on the complexity of the fact that there is so much world opinion against going to attack Iran that they're going to be hard-pressed to justify this. And then again, if my general theory is correct, they may not be interested in justifying it as much as in further antagonizing the world. Recent polls in Europe indicate that less than 20% relate to the United States as an image of peace and responsible government. So Tom Friedman is at a loss, the New York columnist, as to why the United States has this ugly American appearance. You know, as a major neocon, pro-Iraq, and pro-war person, I'm sure it doesn't surprise me he doesn't see why the American has this ugly American image. He claims and continues to claim that our motives are pure in intervening in Iraq, and I don't believe that.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, yes. Joel, if you people remember history. I'm old enough to remember the Second World War. And, of course, just before the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, why, there were Japanese diplomats in Washington, D.C. that were negotiating with the Americans in an effort to avoid war. And they were there right up until the very moment when the attack came. In fact, they were there after the attack came. And then, of course, we know that certainly that the Justice Department was in negotiations with the people at Waco. At the same time, they were planning an attack. That was the same thing with little Elian Gonzalez there down in Miami. Why, of course, the Janet Reno was talking to the family, and how could we work this out? All the time, of course, the SWAT team was poised, ready to attack. So very often you talk about, you know, diplomacy and settling things peacefully, or when you're really planning an attack. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that this has a diversionary effect on people. They can't very well prepare for an attack when the U.S. is appearing to be in full negotiations. Japan, of course, was not optimistic about the outcome of these, and so they were prepared, you know, to go to war. But certainly in the case of Elian Gonzalez and the other examples that you mentioned, the purpose of the U.S. In Waco, the purpose of the U.S. negotiating was to put the, quote, enemy off balance.
Right.
And they certainly were able to mount their surprise attacks afterward. You know, the same thing is being built up right now in the Czech Republic. They defied Russian pressure in signing the agreement with the United States to host a tracking radar station for the proposed anti-ballistic missile system. And almost immediately, Russia began cutting oil supplies to the Czechs, making them pay for this rebellion. Reuters reported in response, the Czech Republic's main oil refiner said on Saturday that it was tapping state oil reserves and bringing in crude through an alternate pipeline after Russia cut deliveries. Czech officials said on Friday that the cut would nearly halve the incoming oil from Russia, which could hurt ties already strained, you know, after the Czechs have disregarded Russian objections and signed the Missile Defense Pact. Well, the increasing pressure from Russia is meant to deter the Czechs from hosting the actual ABM missiles, in addition to the phased array radar site. You know, they successfully pressured the Poles to reject the missile site, and the radar site won't do any good in Czechoslovakia without actual missiles, so I suspect that the United States is in ongoing negotiations right now with the Czechs about accepting the missile site as well. It's probably a less than 50-50 chance that they'll be able to talk the Poles into reversing their parliamentary decision. There's quite a bit of anti-American sentiment in Poland.
Well, I mean, anybody who honestly believes that we're putting these sites in both Poland and Czechoslovakia because we're worried about the Iranians attacking Europe. I mean, is anybody really that stupid?
Well, certainly the Russians aren't deceived. I mean, they claim that these missiles are aimed at Iran, but the Russians tested the U.S. intentions by offering them a site right next to Iran where they could hit Iranian missiles in the boost phase, whether its ABMs are most effective, and the U.S. refused. I mean, that was prima facie evidence that the U.S. had no intention of that the ABMs were not, in fact, targeting Iran, but were in fact targeting Russian missiles in the boost phase. And the Russians, in turn, would not be upset and threatening the U.S. or this threatening Europe with targeting their nations with their missiles unless they had hegemonic intentions to use their missiles against the United States. That's why, in fact, they are so upset about this ABM system being in the soft underbelly of Europe underneath them. So this is going to take a while to play out, given the fact that these ABM systems don't have an explosive warhead. I'm concerned that they're more bark than bite, that their whole purpose really is to induce the Russians to strike sooner rather than later, rather than risk increasingly being ringed by an ABM system around them.
Well, you know, we certainly live in exciting times.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
In other news, WorldNet Daily reported had an exclusive that the new housing bailout legislation includes new fingerprinting demands on banks. They'll be fingerprinting hundreds of thousands of individuals never suspected of a crime as part of the new banking bill. It's amazing what sneaks in this legislation.
Well, of course, they really want everybody's fingerprints. They want everybody's DNA. They want dossiers on every American citizen. They're using the housing crisis. They're using the terrorist threat. They're using whatever they can to justify it. But people have to really understand the ultimate goal is a police state in once free America.
Well, it's interesting that we cannot trust what our government says. They keep telling us, of course, that they're not surveilling Americans, but they are. Even the Israelis cannot trust their government. For years, the Israelis have been saying, we will never negotiate with hostage takers. This only foments more hostage taking, and yet the U.S. or the Israelis under the table have always done that kind of negotiation, and it's always been fairly one-sided. The Israelis have released hundreds and hundreds of prisoners in exchange for one or two hostages, and now the cabinet ministers approved the exchange of 22 hostages as opposed to three Israelis, and two of them end up being dead, so they're getting two coffins as part of this deal, letting go some of the most strongest Hezbollah terrorists that have ever walked the face of the earth. And objections were filed by the Israeli security establishment against the release of five of these Hezbollah operatives, including Samir Kuntar, the convicted Nahariya murderer, who previously Israeli governments had pledged never to release. The family of Eliyahu Shahar, the policeman who was one of Kuntar's victims, unsuccessfully petitioned the high court in Israel against his release. The courts are very much, just like in the United States, aligned with the government. In fact, President Shimon Peres formally signed pardons for these terrorists after the cabinet ministers to make permanent their release so that they would not be threatened with any further arrest, which is just adding insult to injury.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. July 17, 2008. Gold opened at $959.10. 1 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $986.44, $485.75 for half ounce, and $242.88 for quarter ounce. That's $986.44, $485.75, and $242.88.
Hedge funds caught in the malaise of mortgage bankruptcies. The bond market continues to slump. J.P. Morgan gets caught in a $10 billion bad deal for Chrysler. Housing sales fell 6.6%. Mortgage giant Countrywide showed mortgage payment woes spreading to the middle and upper class. Investors cast doubt on investment banks. Credit protection insurance for mortgage lenders are skyrocketing due to the increased risk. The U.S. dollar is free-falling against foreign currencies, and countries that previously financed the U.S. are now seeking safer alternatives. Economist Rudy Boyd published the report Bubble Leaking. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Have you ever suffered from Giardia, food poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, arthritis, fatigue, or high cholesterol? Maybe you're one of the 75 million Americans that the Center for Disease Control reports as suffering from internal parasites. If so, Freshwater Organics is proud to introduce you to a million-year-old miracle that has been used all over the world by health-conscious individuals seeking alternatives to chemicals and drugs. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, is a 100% natural, organic product with absolutely no additives. When taken daily, it is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Many believe it is the key to a healthy digestive tract. To find an FPP distributor near you, or to buy it now, online, go to www.fppp.com. www.freshwaterorganics.com. You can also call toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hey, I'm Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen, and Joel, pick up the story.
Well, we just finished talking about the fact that the Israeli government, in spite of continual assurances that they do not negotiate with terrorists to take hostages, have always done so, and have continued to do so in increasing, negative results. They've now exchanged over 300 prisoners for two dead soldiers coming back in coffins, and so it's adding insult to injury. Moving on to another story, there's a new rule by the FAA that is meant to cover up the real cause of the TWA-800 crash. You know, it was bad enough that the CIA spent $2 million creating a falsified movie version of what happened to TWA-800, claiming that the fuel tank exploded and the aircraft zoom-climbed, hoping to convince people that that zoom climbing of the crash and fireball airliner was really what they saw when they saw missiles coming from the ground up to 8,000 feet to take down that airplane. Now the FAA is mandating that airlines modify most existing airliners to pump inert gas into the fuel tanks during flight, supposedly because a spark in the fuel tank caused the crash of TW-800. And it wasn't true. Can you imagine? It's one thing to spend that much money on a cover-up, and now you're going to force the airlines who are struggling financially to spend millions of dollars retrofitting their air tanks with a special ability to pump inert gas. This is just incredible.
Yes, I agree with you. In fact, we interviewed a number of the people who had actually interviewed the people who had seen those missiles going up. But I really believe this something had something to do with it. I'm not sure whether it's Osama bin Laden or Iran, and our government was covering it up. They did not want the American people to know about the terrorist threat at that time. And you know, because it seems almost to be like a timetable that they're following, and they've covered up, you know, the relationship between Iran and so many of the other major bombings, whether it be the Beirut bombing of the embassy or the Marine barracks in 83. They knew it was the Iranians, and if they covered for them, they've always covered things up until now when it appears now the timetable says we're going to have a confrontation or a war with Iran. So nothing as it appears to be, and I agree with you. I share your concern that they lied to the American people when they had their hearings and would not allow any of the witnesses, almost 200 of them, who had seen those missiles going up. They couldn't have all been mistaken.
No, that's right. You know, I'm also positive from my research that a missile test was going on at the same time, which could have gone bad. It could have actually been a combination. Terrorists could have taken advantage of the cover of sending a missile up, a handheld missile, when there was a Navy test going on. Clearly, you know, and I've been in the military and I've shot at drones, and clearly there was a drone present. A drone is kind of a small winged rocket that simulates a target that a Navy submarine or someone firing a Harpoon missile will try to take down. And clearly two of the witnesses described a horizontal rocket flying over Long Island with a white plume, and this is not, you know, any of the handheld missiles. They don't fly horizontally in the first place, and secondly, they don't have the white plume. Additionally, there was the FBI fax mistakenly sent to an office in Manhattan responding to the NTSB or National Transportation Safety Board asking or saying that the numbers on the drone involved a TW-800 crash did not match any of the drones that they manufactured. So we know that the NTSB was aware that there was a drone in the area. Now, when a drone flies underneath an airplane that's crossing over above, as this appeared to do, it's very easy for any of the missile targeting and radar systems to cross, or what they call switch lock and lock onto the aircraft instead of the drone, and that's perhaps what may have happened. Or but you know, there were more than one missile fired, so it could have been a combination of harpoon missile or a handheld missile as well. But in any case, we know that the Navy was involved. They beat feet immediately. The Navy ships were in the area and exited the area at high speed. It showed on the radar tracks. And obviously, they wouldn't have done that had the Navy not been involved, or at least somebody wanted to cover up the fact that the Navy was involved. In any case, we know that there was a cover-up. It's like people asking us, well, what would possibly be the reason for the government covering up what happened in 9/11? We may not know what the government is up to and what their reasons for the cover-up, but we certainly can tell that there is a cover-up going on. Speaking of cover-ups, it's recently come to my attention, and it's all over the internet now, about YouTube videos of three Marines who have finally come forward, and they landed on Saipan with the Marines and found the an intact airplane, a Lockheed Electra that belonged to Amelia Earhart. They blew open the safe when they attacked the Japanese headquarters and found inside there a briefcase with her navigation papers, her passports, and all her personal belongings.
Hold that thought with me right now.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you still think that $4 a gallon at the gas pump is your worst problem in this country? Bank failures, rising food prices, and an ever-weakening dollar are only the beginning of a much larger crisis. Why have America's politicians abandoned the rule of law in favor of the rule of men? The majority of this nation's elected officials have become drunk on the power and illusion of authority that only lawless men and women seek. They no longer strive to protect American ideals, but rather they have abandoned the very rulebook that they have sworn an oath to defend. Will the American people let these crimes go unpunished? Do the American people even understand the crimes that have been committed? Where does it stop? Washington, You're Fired is a film about true change in D.C. with true solutions to our everyday problems. We invite you to get your copy today. Visit WashingtonYou'reFired.com. Understanding what has happened is key to fixing our problems. Visit WashingtonYou'reFired.com and understand true change today.
Once, America was led by real politicians. Now politicians in the U.S., city, county, state, and federal, are owned and controlled by corporations. We have corporate representatives instead of politicians. Criminal corporate manipulation has caused grain prices to soar to the highest levels in history. Shortages of rice, corn, and wheat now exist in most countries. Natural disasters have put millions worldwide at risk of starvation. Food riots and bread lines occur daily in 30 nations, and not only is that list growing, but it's headed this way. Survival Enterprises are master distributors of the highest quality long-term storage food. Mountain House freeze-dried foods, canned beef, chicken, turkey, butter, bacon, spices, cheese, fruit, and more. We have tons of food in stock now. Call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us, where you'll find what you'll need to keep you and your loved ones secure. And remember, those without food will be servants of those with the food. Call now.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodide. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest today is Joel Skousen. And Joel, before we go on, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the World Affairs Brief, what they'll find in it?
Well, the World Affairs Brief is my Internet weekly commentary on the news. It's available for review at www.worldaffairsbrief.com. And people can get a sample copy if they'd like to know how to subscribe. They can get a sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they forget how to do that, they can go to the front page where it gives a summary of the brief, and it tells them right at the end how to email me for that free sample copy. Lots of other free things on the website, especially a rundown of all the daily news stories. They've been pre-selected by my research staff so that they give you the best, the least damaging information anyway, because as you know and you've discussed, the main reason that the main way in which the news is manipulated by what they omit, that's what I try to put back in the brief each week. So I encourage people to avail themselves of this alternative source of information. Are you reading me, Dr. Stan?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. My microphone was turned off. I just was saying that I go there every morning after I finish my emails, and I appreciate the fact that here's a wonderful way that I don't have to go over the entire Internet. I can simply go to World Affairs Brief and pull down all the major stories. So what's the next thing we're going to talk about?
Well, the main story for tomorrow's World Affairs Brief is how the establishment protects its own. All the hype from Congress and the White House about bailing out establishment financial institutions is only, you know, supposedly to save America from the ravages of a depression, is mere cover for a systematic protection racket aimed at saving those who brought us this debacle and profited during the run-up. Now they want to profit on the way down, too. As Daryl Shoon put it bluntly, once the most powerful and productive economy in the world, the U.S., indebted by bankers and government spending beyond its ability to pay, is headed towards sovereign bankruptcy. The recent request by U.S. Treasury Secretary, more importantly, former chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs, Henry Paulson, requested to bail out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac with U.S. taxpayer dollars. This is but another indication of this destructive and parasitic relationship between bankers, governments, and the economy. That a private banker from a large Wall Street investment bank is also the Secretary of Treasury, of course, is no coincidence. It's also no coincidence that, once again, public monies from the U.S. Treasury are being used to rescue private bankers and to indemnify their losses. And, in this week's brief, I'm going to attempt to illuminate the incestuous relationship between the financial powers that be and how they intend to sap America's individual wealth in order to salvage their own crumbling speculative empire. Receiving taxpayer money from the U.S. Treasury for their private benefit is not new to Goldman Sachs. In the 1990s, when the Mexican government defaulted on its bonds, investors at Goldman Sachs stood to lose billions of dollars, and they didn't. Buried deep in a $40 billion U.S. bailout of Mexico was a little attachment for $4 billion payment to Goldman Sachs, free from the United States Treasury, indemnifying Goldman Sachs against any losses on their investment in Mexican bonds. Isn't that something? Always tucked into these little packages of bailouts or relief for supposedly the American people is a great big bailout for one of the insiders. It's also an interesting fact that the current U.S. Secretary and Goldman Sachs leader at that time was Henry Paulson. And he was the one who recently used U.S. funds to underwrite J.P. Morgan's private bailout of investment bank Bear Stearns. Now he's proposing to do the same thing with Freddie Mae or Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Jim Rogers, chairman of Rogers Holdings, summarized this, saying, "They're ruining what has been one of the greatest economies in the world. Bernanke and Paulson are bailing out their friends on Wall Street, but there are 300 million Americans that are going to have to pay for this. And we will pay through rampant inflation." You know, nothing's more symptomatic than protecting their own philosophy than Paulson's latest move to shut down temporarily market short sales. But only those short sales aimed at undercutting insider institutions. I mean, this is just incredible. U.S. securities regulators issued an emergency rule this past Tuesday to limit certain types of short selling on major financial firms, including Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You know, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, which has denied there's any speculation in the oil markets, claimed their speculation is bringing down Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and it threatens other major financial institutions. So this will be a temporary thing going from July 21st through July 29th and can be extended up to 30 days. Now, I wonder why they're picking that window. In fact, the ruling is not aimed at stopping market manipulation. This emergency rule applies strictly to 19 financial firms, including Lehman Brothers, Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Citigroup. The SEC said that a loss of confidence in markets can lead to panic selling, which may be further exacerbated by certain types of short selling. So, you know, this move only protects certain big boys. I mean, if it's good for them, why isn't it good for all? Why don't you just outlaw all short selling? Of course, that really is illegal anyway. It manipulates the market. But this move is clearly meant to ensure that outside investors cannot precipitate a selling streak to profit from the coming downturns in values at all of these establishment banks. I mean, it's just like a protection racket.
Well, I share your concern. I remember very well, because when we had the Mexican crisis, a dozen years ago, and of course, you know, the United States lent a tremendous amount of money, billions and billions and billions of dollars, to Mexico. The man who was the Secretary of Treasury at that time was Robert Rubin, and where did he come from? He came from Goldman Sachs.
Yeah,
and of course,
yeah.
The thing was that the Mexico owed Goldman Sachs a great deal of money, so we lent the money to Mexico so they could pay Goldman Sachs. That's what it was all about. And you would think that one of these days people would begin to see the pattern.
Well, of course, some people see it, but most of them don't, because they get their news from the major media, and just like they, you know, it's what they don't tell you that it really is telling. Now, just to go over, in case your listeners don't understand what a short sale is, that's where a trader borrows stock and sells it in hopes it will later fall in price. And if it does, the short seller then buys the stock on the open market at the lower price and gives it back, that is, replacing the stock that he borrowed, and he pockets the difference. Now, indications are now that the stock short sellers enjoyed their best month in over 7 years during June, as everything has gone down. And, of course, short selling is very prevalent to make money on the way down. It only works, though, when you have somebody who's still willing to buy the stock. Once the stock market starts to go into free fall, short selling doesn't work because there's nobody willing to buy it, you know, at any price. And that's what happened to Fannie Mae. But, in fact, this is something that has been going on for a long time. There are indications that some people are doing what they call naked shorts. And naked shorts are where someone, in fact, shorts the market but doesn't borrow any stock to do so. Now, you might ask, how can you sell a stock that you don't borrow and that you don't even own? Well, this is only something that you can do if you're an insider trader, because the actual brokerage houses cover for you. And this is what they're attempting to apparently shut down to make sure that nobody acts as a predator against their preferred insider trading companies like Goldman Sachs and Merrill Lynch, etc. So So the SEC Tuesday move aimed to stop this, quote, unlawful manipulation through naked short selling, the practice of selling stock short without taking steps to borrow it. But on history, you know, you can't really curb short selling because, you know, it's very difficult to distinguish between manipulative short selling and real short selling that's necessary to hedge funds. If you can't hedge things, then the economy goes down pretty fast. But it's interesting that in the near term, short sellers may see some marginal increase in their cost of borrowing through this, because they'll actually have to go out and borrow the stock. No one will be able to do naked shorts, at least targeting these companies. Ultimately, neither this rule nor the SEC's indications that they're looking to bring enforcement cases against sellers, none of this will reduce short selling. You know, only insiders are told directly that they have no fear of enforcement. These rules are meant to scare away the short selling competition or from encouraging cashing in on this kind of pre-depression windfall. In other ways, the establishment's ways of avoiding for their insiders compliance with federal disclosure laws. We find this in terms of congressmen who don't have to declare a certain kind of income. The Department of Justice, you know, is mandated by law to keep a registry of all political operatives that formally or informally represent foreign governments in their dealings with the U.S. There's a guy named Stephen Payne. He's a big Bush supporter, caught on tape offering access for cash to the administration, claiming that his firm has done a lot of work for foreign governments and politicians. But strangely, Stephen Payne doesn't show up on any of the Department of Justice database that tracks registered foreign agents. Has he been involved in foreign? Of course. He arranged for President of Azerbaijan to visit the U.S. and meet with President Bush. He arranged for a private phone call between the president, vice president, and the president of Azerbaijan. And this sounds very much like a foreign intermediary. And the brochure also mentions of his firm that they did work for the Afghanistan government, Turkmenistan, and Uzbek opposition leaders, alleged terrorists, by the way. Yet the only place Payne or Worldwide Strategies, his company, shows up in the DOJ database is for some work that Payne did for Pakistan a few years ago. Now, Payne told the UPI that he spoke with the Department of Justice about this work, and the Department of Justice assured him that he did not have to register, in part because these were commercial contracts. Now, this is totally incorrect. Anytime a lobbyist, commercial or otherwise, begins to have dealings with any branch of government, he must register on behalf of a foreign country. He must register, whether it's commercial or not. The fact that you can have commercial dealings between companies and countries is one thing, but not with government officials. Obviously, both Payne and the government insiders have coordinated their stories so as to back one another up. But this is very typical. Whether it's Halliburton, whether it's Blackwater, whether it's Stephen Payne, or whether it's Abramoff, there's so many people that are on the inside that aren't required to go through the same laws that you and I must do. And, of course, this week the big story is the bailing out of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Treasury Secretary Paulson provided us with a perfect demonstration of Wall Street socialism. He announced that the Bush administration would seek congressional approval to bail out both of these entities. They were government-created, supposedly privately owned only recently. They're profit-making house financial companies that hold or guarantee nearly half of the U.S. mortgage market, some $5 trillion. Paulson is seeking and will get an unlimited line of credit to guarantee their debt, as well as authority to purchase their shares to supplement their capital base. The Federal Reserve announced it was ready to provide lending while waiting for Congress to act. Now, this is very interesting because the Federal Reserve can simply, being a private entity, doesn't have to go to Congress for permission to do anything. It can simply flood the country with money if it wants to, and that's what it's doing when it's giving this kind of funding to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Paulson, of course, in order to use taxpayers' money, which he's going to do by deficit spending, has to go before Congress. It's also interesting that Barney Frank, the liberal Democrat who chairs the House panel overseeing housing, aims to include penalties for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in legislation authorizing a rescue. Frank wants to prohibit the two companies from paying stock dividends and bonuses to company owners out of the bailout money they receive, and he's well to propose this legislation because that's in fact what these people are going to do. They're going to bail out the big boys, and they will continue to give them these high bonuses even though they bankrupted the company, and they'll take it from the bailout money. But this is really, I think, on Barney Frank's position, more window dressing rather than legitimate opposition. He puts in a language into this legislation that regulators will be required to approve any compensation that Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac gives top executives to ensure that it's, quote, reasonable. There's no way these restrictions will amount to anything substantive, especially since the determination of what is reasonable on executive bonus compensation is very much a subjective thing. And if it goes to court, the courts always tend to back up the establishment. But you know, Fannie and Freddie have a long history of lavishing spending on high-placed government operatives in order to grease their road to the top. They've survived scandal after scandal for many years, and they've got as many bad accounting practices as Enron has, but they've spent nearly $200 million on lobbying and campaign contributions. The political tentacles of this mortgage giant extend far beyond their checkbooks. The two government-chartered companies run a sophisticated lobbying campaign of their own. And, of course, they make it the appearance as if they're championing the little guy, when, in fact, these are the people responsible for marketing all these subprime mortgages. One of the big problems involved in the mortgage scandal is the fact that there's a lot of lawsuits hanging over their heads. I believe that the housing bailout program is mainly aimed at supporting the banks to keep them from these lawsuits. You see, if there's major defaults, the banks and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who have packaged these loans and sold them to Europe and sold them to other people, have essentially guaranteed the value of these things. And lest they be forced by the courts to make good on those guarantees, which they can't, they've got to make sure that there's as few a default as possible. So really the business interests in Congress are not so much out to help the individual homeowner who's facing foreclosure, but to salvage the big banks to make sure that they're able to continue to not have to face court, which they may still happen, but to give them a stronger ability to face these court challenges.
And of course, I mean, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have over $5 trillion in loans out there. I mean, how many of those are going to go bad? You know, and who's going to pay for it? And of course, it's going to be you and I now. But of course, this is going to eventually begin to lead to hyperinflation and the destruction of the value of the dollar. And of course, when foreign countries lose confidence in the dollar, and, you know, refuse to loan us money, and that we're borrowing $2 or $3 billion a day, what happens when they don't loan us any more money? And the whole house of cards comes tumbling down.
Right.
Our guest has been Joel Skousen. Joel, thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
And we'll look forward to talking to you early tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much. And these are important issues. You must understand them, ladies and gentlemen. We are on the brink of financial disaster and the destruction of the American economic system. We'll be back in just a moment. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hey, Bonnie, no more pickpocketing for us. I have an easier way we can steal people's credit cards without them even knowing they've been robbed.
How so, Clyde?
I have this RFID reader I picked up on the internet. Just by waving it near you, I can skim your credit card information while your cards are still in your purse. Just watch.
Hey, look, that's my info on the screen. You gotta be kidding me.
Nope. With 50 million credit cards with hidden RFID chips, I figure we'll make a fortune. As long as people don't hear about Identity Stronghold.
Why? What's Identity Stronghold?
They make the secure sleeve. When people keep their credit cards in the shielded secure sleeve, I can't read them.
Do a lot of people already know about the secure sleeve?
No way. Most people don't realize they even have chips in their credit cards and passports.
Clyde, we should get some of those secure sleeves.
I already got some. I also got some to fit our passports. Identity Stronghold has secure sleeves for sale right on the internet at IDStronghold.com.
IDStronghold.com?
Right. Or you can call them at 1-800-610-2770.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course this is the time I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, and if you agree with me that we're really involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational battlefield, yes, even on a population control battlefield, and certainly on battlefields of war as well. We hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family, and if so, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have, of course, an interesting new DVD. It's called The Secret Knowledge. It's just a talk that I gave, but it will give you the background of this movement, which is being pushed by Rhonda Byrne and by Oprah Winfrey and by Larry King and by Jim Carrey and Ellen DeGeneres, and the video, of course, how you can tap into the other dimension. And, of course, there's tremendous power there, but you don't want to get that. And it will cost you your eternal soul. The same thing holds true. We have a wonderful talk. I think it's quite a bit longer. It's called Forbidden Secret, and there's a syllabus that goes with that, which we suggest people get, and we explain to you some of President Bush's speeches, for instance, when he talks about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs the storm. He used that term twice in his first inaugural address. What was he talking about? Nobody ever commented on it, but we explained to you what we think he was talking about and what he talks about. And certainly when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled. What's this new order of the ages he's talking about? Well, of course, it's the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. Novus Ordo Seclorum. The new social order, and America is leading the world into this one world government. That's what it's about, the one world government, the one world religion, coercive population control, the new world leader. It's all coming together, and you can see this, and this is why they have to take us into another war. We are following a timetable, and the timetable, I fear, is drawing to a close, and the other side really believes that they're going to be able to fulfill that age-old dream of creating a world government ruled over by Lucifer. And that's what it's all about. These people worship a different god. This is a resurgence of Gnosticism. Only most people don't even know what Gnosticism is, but it is the most powerful force in the world today, second only, of course, to Christianity. Well, I'm betting on our Lord eventually will be successful, but in the meantime, he's allowing these things to take place. You need to get our material. One of the excellent DVDs we have is entitled The Da Vinci Con. Da Vinci Con is actually put out by a friend of ours named Joe Schimmel, who himself at one time was under demonic control. And when he realized it, of course, he got rid of all of his rock and roll records and got out of the music business and became a minister. His DVDs, They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version is must viewing. Certainly Chris Pinto's material on the secret mysteries of America's beginning, where you'll see me for a short clip, and then, of course, the second DVD in the series, Riddles in Stone, the secret architecture of our nation's capital, and I play a part in that. In fact, Chris had me in several of his videos, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. And then, of course, we have the talk that Chris Pinto gave at our conference about 2 years ago, the Atlantis connection. And what's that all about? Well, it's always been the plan that America would become the new Atlantis and would lead the world into this new world order. That's why we have troops in 130 nations. That's why we have over 720 bases throughout the world. We are going to bring about that world government using America's financial and military power. And the reason, of course, we go to war is to take out leaders who will not go along with our agenda. Either that or we kill them. And if you don't believe that we kill people, why, you need to hear the talk, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. He was part of the program where, of course, they would bring in the CIA, or what he referred to as the tackle, to kill world leaders. Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And, of course, the information is there. We hope you'll take avail yourself. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triamethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed.